of us run into the sea, but the sea is never full. Then the water returns again to the river and flows out again to the sea. Everything is wearisome beyond description. No matter how much we see, we are never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we are never content. History merely repeats itself. It has all been done before. Nothing under the sun is truly new. Sometimes people say, here's something new, but actually it's old. Nothing is ever truly new. We don't remember what happened in the past, and in future generations, no one will remember what we were doing now. I, the teacher, was king of Israel, and I lived in Jerusalem. I devoted myself to search for understanding and to explore by wisdom everything being done under heaven. And I soon discovered that God has dealt a tragic existence to humans. I observed everything going on under the sun, and really, it is all meaningless. Like chasing the wind. What is wrong cannot be made right. What is missing cannot be recovered. I said to myself, look, I am wiser than any of the kings who ruled in Jerusalem before me. I have greater wisdom and knowledge than any of them. So I set out to learn everything from the wisdom to madness to folly. But I learned firsthand that pursuing all this is like chasing the wind. The greater my wisdom, the greater my grief. To increase knowledge only increases sorrow. I said to myself, come on, let's try pleasure. Let's look for the good things in life. But I found that this too was meaningless. So I said, laughter is silly. What good does it do to seek pleasure? After much thought, I decided to cheer myself with wine. And while still seeking wisdom, I clutched at foolishness. In this way, I tried to experience the only happiness most people find during their brief life in this world. I also tried to find meaning by building huge homes for myself and planting beautiful vineyards. I made gardens and parks, filling them with all kinds of fruit and trees. I built reservoirs to collect the water to irrigate many flourishing groves. I bought slaves, both men and women, and others were born into my household. I owned large herds of flocks, more than any of the kings who had lived in Jerusalem before me. I collected great sums of silver and gold and treasure of many kings and provinces. I hired wonderful singers, both men and women, and had many beautiful concubines. I had everything a man could desire, so I became greater than all who had lived in Jerusalem before me, and my wisdom never failed me. Anything I wanted, I would take it. I denied myself no pleasure. I even found great pleasure in hard work, a reward for all my labours. But as I looked at everything I had worked so hard to accomplish, it was all so meaningless. Like chasing the wind, there was nothing really worthwhile anywhere. So I decided to compare wisdom with foolishness and madness, for who can do this better than either king? I thought wisdom is better than foolishness, just as light is better than darkness, for the wise can see where they are going, but fools walk in the darkness. Yet I saw that the wise and the foolish share the same fate. Both will die. So I said to myself, since I will end up as the same as a fool, what's the value of my wisdom? This is also so meaningless. For the wise and the foolish both die. The wise will not be remembered any longer than the fool. In the days to come, both will be forgotten. So I came to hate my life, because everything done here under the sun is so troubling. Everything is meaningless, like chasing the wind. I came to hate all my hard work here on earth, for I must leave to others everything I've earned. And who can tell whether my successors will be wise or foolish? Yet they will control everything I have gained by my skill and hard work under the sun. How meaningless. So I gave up in despair, questioning the value of all my hard work in the world. Some people work wisely with knowledge and skill, and they must leave fruits of their effort to someone who hasn't worked for it. This too is meaningless, a great tragedy. So what do people get in their life for all their hard work and anxiety? Their days of labour are filled with pain and grief. And even at night, their minds cannot rest. It is all meaningless. So I decided there's nothing better to do than to enjoy food and drink and to find satisfaction in work. And then I realised that these pleasures are from the hand of God. For who can eat or enjoy anything apart from him? God gives wisdom, knowledge and joy to those who please him. But if a sinner becomes wealthy, God takes the wealth away and gives it to those who please him. This too is meaningless. For everything, there is a season, a time for every activity under the sun. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to harvest, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, and a time to build up, a time to cry, and a time to laugh, a time to grieve, and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear down and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Moving on. So I concluded there is nothing better than to be happy and enjoy ourselves as long as we can, and people should eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of their labours, for these are gifts of God. Whoa, that's in the Bible. It's not the normal thing you expect to find in the Bible, do you? Yeah? But basically, this is a story. This is the most successful man, arguably, that ever lived. And this is his conclusion at the end of his life. He basically looks at his life and decides that everything he has done is completely pointless. He says, what do we get for all our hard work? The next generation's going to take it off us. We can't take it with us. So all my hard work, Reuben's going to get it, or the girls. What's he going to do with it? Ecclesiastes. He says, everything is wearisome under the sun. Here on earth, no matter how much we see, how much we do, what the things we do, we just are never, ever content. Nothing is new. The world goes round and round and round and round in circles. Nobody remembers what we did or what we've done. And he tried a lot out. He spent time learning and gathering as much information and knowledge as he could. When you were at school, I used to think, oh, I'd love to know everything that I possibly can. Yeah? Let's find out facts and figures and whatever. And he's incredibly smart, this guy. And he asked lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of questions and gained lots and lots and lots and lots of knowledge. Went to university and whatever. Gets really smart. And then the more he knows, the more he sees, the sadder he gets. And then he thinks, what's the point? What is the point? He spent time seeking pleasure and laughing. Who's heard this? Ever heard? In fact, I must have seen it on Facebook. Laugh, love, die. Have you seen that? Laugh, love, you know. Life is about having a laugh, having a right good time and a right good laugh. And he does that. He does that, he enjoys himself, but eventually, pointless. He realises, what is the point? And then he tries to find meaning in stuff he builds. So he goes and builds houses and building and DIY. He must have been the ultimate addition of location, 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 this dude. You can imagine him, he just loved building beautiful buildings and property and landscaping, and he makes a massive garden and does all sorts, and he builds, and then he gets bored. He's like, what's the point? What is the point? Pointless, he says. And then he collects loads of slaves, becomes powerful and influential, and he has more power over people's lives than anybody else. He's like the ultimate CEO of a company, yeah? Hundreds of thousands of people. He has power, he can do what he wants, and if he decides anything about anybody, he can kill somebody or do what he wants, anything. But then he thinks, pointless. And then he decided to go into farming and breeding the best cattle and the best flocks and animal husbandry. And then, guess what happened? He got bored. And he said it was pointless. Pointless. And then he decided to go into business and try and collect as much money as he could. And he acquired more money than anybody else had ever had or imagined. I imagine this guy... Now we'd be looking at his banking app and checking his bank balance all the time. And he acquired so much money through business. He was the best businessman ever. He had more money than anybody else. But again, he got to the point and what do you think he felt? Bored. What's the point? What is the point? And then he got into the arts. Yeah, and he hired lots of beautiful musicians. Yeah, and he kind of followed them. So who's ever, I remember as a kid, I used to love the Beatles. And I wanted to know everything about the Beatles or different bands. And there are people who almost their lives are intertwined with like pop stars and things, aren't they? And followed art and good art and different things. And he did that for a bit. But eventually, guess what happened? He got bored. And he went, what is the point? What is the point? And then he tried sex. He had 100. Wait, this dude had 900 concubines, apparently. Yeah, how he had energy for anything else, I don't know. But he tried that, and he says, get this, he denied himself nothing. That's probably quite a bad man, actually. If you denied himself nothing. He could have everything a man could ever want. And at the end of his life, when he looked at it, he said, it is pointless and it is meaningless. And he says, wise people, smart people and stupid people, we both end up dead. So if you live your life well, you're dead. If you live your life stupidly, you die. What is the point? And he looked at his life and everything that he'd done, and he just started hating everything that he'd done. It says he hated his life. He hated it. It says he just gave up in despair. He was so stressed, so full of anxiety, so down. He hated everything. Do you know what I reckon? What happened is he just got depressed. And I think he just probably went to bed, pulled the curtains, and just stayed in bed. And slept and hated his life. And they say the Bible isn't relevant. I reckon he just couldn't be bothered in the end to get up. And then it says the only enjoyment that he took from life was from eating and drinking. And he just looked at it and realised stuff just happened. Again, stuff just happens. I've no control over everything, even all my power. You know, there's time for this and there's a season for this and there's a time for this and there's a time for this. And I can't affect it. You just, stuff happens. Stuff happens and it's out of control. And then he says, God has planted eternity in people's hearts. So his conclusion is, there is nothing better to do and be happy and enjoy ourselves as long as we can. And he even complains later on. He says, do you know what? There's not even any justice. You know what? Good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people. What is that all about? What is the point? Look at what's happening around the world. And he even concludes that man is no better than animals. Both are born, both are died, so what? You tried everything under the sun, and it had all let him down. This is in the Bible. How many people do we think that are living in the United Kingdom feel like this dude? Lots and lots. I think this is possibly one of the most relevant books to today. Everything is pointless. Everything is meaningless. And I have to say, it is one of my most favourite books of the Bible. I love it. You're all looking at me very strange now. But it is because it was me. It was me. That's who I relate to. His problem was, he tried to find his meaning of life in all these things. All these things. He tried to find the meaning. And again, this might shock you, but everything that this man says, I believe is true. It is true. Everything under the sun is pointless and meaningless. It's pointless. Every word is true. If you look at your life from an earthly perspective of just under the sun, it's true. There's no higher purpose. You might as well live like animals, to be quite honest. Under the sun. Let me read you another shorter passage. And this one is my favourite passage in the Bible. Yeah? And this is the passage that changed my life. From that. It's Colossians chapter 3, verses 1. Since you have been raised to a new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honour at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not about the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in his glory. Keep your eyes and your sight on the realities of heaven. Everything King Solomon described was not the entire reality. It's just half of it. Not even half of it. There is a greater reality. The full reality. And it's the realities of heaven, where Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. Without that reality, everything is pointless. All these things that he talked about were good: hard work, wisdom, sex, business, money, responsibility, laughing, family, music, art, are all good. But without God and without Jesus, they are pointless. They are pointless. God had created it all, but none of these things has he made to be the point or the meaning. So the meaning of life is not sex. The meaning of life is not money or business or all this stuff. The meaning of life is Jesus. Is Jesus. And you won't find the point, and everything will be pointless without Jesus. My testimony is, I didn't manage to do as many things as Solomon, in fairness. I had a good try at most of them, in fairness. But everything did become meaningless. And again, I really struggled to what is the point. And you know what? Everything, even the good things in life, let me down. So my work let me down. The people I work with, my family, not their fault, but will let you down. And everything in this life has the potential to let you down. They might not want to, so family, friends. The main thing that let me down is myself. I let myself down by being an idiot. But everything in this life will let you down. I put my trust in Jesus. And you know what? He has never let me down. Ever. Jesus will never, ever, ever let you down. And I've tried it and I took the step and Jesus never has. I still let myself down often, but Jesus will never let me down. Since you have been raised to a new life, set your sights on the realities of heaven. If you are struggling with the meaning of life and everything is pointless, try Jesus. Try Jesus. And he won't let you down. He won't let you down. Most of you looking at me know this. Yeah? So you're probably quite bored by this point, in fairness. Yeah? You all know this. But actually, what prompted me to do and look at this piece of scripture is, generally, I'm a positive person. Yeah, but sometimes you struggle and things feel a little bit empty, and particularly around Christmas time. When Christmas is finished, you're kind of a little bit like, where do I go? What do I do? And I sometimes get down if I've got too much to do, and I get down if I've too little to do, and I get to all sorts and whatever. And sometimes you struggle with your faith, don't you? Not your faith, but you just struggle with life. Yeah? And over Christmas, I had a period of feeling down, to be quite honest. I did, you do. But what had I done or was not doing? And this is what God gave me. And this is my prayer for you and for this church and for it. I need to keep my eyes on the realities of heaven, where Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. Stuff is going to happen this year. There's going to be big highs for most people. There are going to be hard times for most people. There's going to be times of plenty, blessed be on it. There's going to be desert times. There's going to be times where you're not getting on with people. There's going to be times when all sorts are going to happen. But my prayer is, keep your eyes on the realities of heaven. Keep your sight on the realities of heaven. As a church, we need to keep our sights on the realities of heaven. So there's going to be buildings and moving and different things and all sorts going on potentially and worldly things. But we need to keep our sights on the realities of heaven, where Jesus sits on the right hand of the Father. And that is my one prayer, that we keep our sights on the realities of heaven. I'm going to end there, because I've nothing else to say. However, if you want prayer for more of the Holy Spirit, more for anything, please come, because the reality is Jesus sits on the right hand of the Father and he has all power and all authority. And if you want to help keeping your eyes and sights stuck on the realities of heaven, we want to pray. I'll let Pete do that wherever Pete's